Matthew 25 and 6 says that at the midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Mark 2 and 18 says the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came to him and said, "Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Why would they fast if the groom is still here? But one day the groom will be taken away." Jesus is the groom. Amen. And we are the bride of Christ. The title of my message this morning is The Bridal Price. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here. I pray today, God, for your anointing to rest upon me. God, that you would anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive, and every mind to understand. God, we come against anything that would try to bind up this service. We bind the works of the enemy, knowing that whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We loose your people to receive, knowing whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you've been bought. In the Hebrew, there was a word called mahar. Everybody say that, mahar. The word mahar literally means a bridal price. Let me read the scripture for you there in Exodus 22 and 16. "If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price or the mahar for her to be his wife." Then we see that with Isaac and Rebekah, that Abraham sent his servant Eliezer out to get a bride, and he sent with him some good stuff. And according to the Bible in Genesis 24 and 53, "Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother." So there was two parts of this bridal price. One of them was, if you was to go and asked a girl to marry, you brought money for their parents. I like that. And I'm real glad it wasn't in use when I asked Rita to marry me. But the second part of it was that you brought money and gifts and finances for the bride, and you gave it to her. We know that Jacob worked 7 years for his wives. But the reason why that you gave finances to the bride was to release her from her family so that she could prepare herself for the wedding. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ paid the price to set you free from your past, and you're not what you used to be? Anybody hear me what I'm saying? You've been set free. Amen. He paid the price. Not only that, but he gave you the ability to prepare yourself and be ready for the groom when he comes to catch away his bride. Amen. Bought at a price. We know that, as I read, 1 Corinthians says that you were bought. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore. I like that. A mother took a little boy into a jewelry store. And you know how little boys are, they're into everything. If you've had a little boy, you know what I'm talking about. They climb on things, and this little boy was running and grabbing the jewelry, and the jewelry owner was going, ah! And he had an idea because the mother wasn't controlling him. And he took him in the back, and he opened up the safe, and he pulled out a diamond about this big and said, "Son, look at that." And the little boy reached in his pocket and pulled out a marble and said, "That's nothing. Look at that." And the store owner quickly, he took the marble and he put it under the microscope and he said, look at it. And the little boy looked and he saw the chips and the cuts and the dirt and he saw it. And then he moved that out and he put the diamond underneath. And he saw the beautiful colors that flowed out of it. And he went, wow, where'd you get a marble like that? What are you saying? I am saying this. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am a jewel. Somebody say amen. I am a jewel. I belong to him. Amen. I might not have much, but what I have, don't mess with it because it belongs to me. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Christ paid a price that you and I might be released. You're no longer what you used to be because you've been bought out. You're no longer an alcoholic. Oh, I wish somebody would amen. You're no longer an addict. No. I've been bought. Praise the Lord. I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I belong to someone else. Listen to me. We were sold out by our father Abraham in the garden with sin. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. But he paid a debt that I might be free and liberated from that debt. Somebody say amen. Oh, now I'm starting to feel the preacher coming on. He paid a price that he might receive us. And see, she would take the finances he would give, and she would begin preparing her gown and preparing everything for the wedding. I am glad that I am being prepared. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm on my way. Jesus is preparing me and making me ready. Somebody say amen. Don't judge me yet. I'm not finished. There was an old song that the children used to say, he's still working on me. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Be patient. He's still working on me. Somebody say amen. So we have been bought. And I want to go back to the word mohar. Mohar meaning a bridal price. Now let us go to the upper room. Jesus is in the upper room and they're having the Last Supper or the Passover supper. They've ate the bitter herbs and they've begun to eat the lamb because you had to eat the whole lamb that represented their freedom. And as Jesus is eating it, he is stirred because this is the Passover night. At this time up on Mount Zion at the temple, they are sacrificing. And one writer said about 200,000 lambs were sacrificed that night. And Jesus sees it and he lifts up the bread and he said, people, this is my body, which is broke for you. And he broke it and gave it to them. Then he lifted up the fruit of the vine and said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. And then Jesus, he washed their feet and Peter said, don't wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. He said, wash my head, my hands, everything. And then as he's in the upper room, he's thinking about the price that he would pay. And you see, as he's leaving that upper room, it's very important for you to understand. As Jesus Christ is leaving that upper room, it might have went through his mind that about 50 some days later, in that very upper room, the Holy Spirit is going to come down and birth a church. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And as Jesus is coming down the stairs and he's headed for Mount Olives there, there is a brook called the Kindra Brook. And because of how the irrigation was, all the blood from the lambs as it was coming down the hill would mix with the Kindra Brook. And as Jesus was stepping over the Kindra Brook, it was crimson red with blood from lambs that was sacrificed. And no doubt in his mind, he was saying, I am the Lamb of God, which was crucified before the world. I am God's Lamb. I am the anybody hear me what I'm saying? And then he crosses over and he goes to Mount Olives and he has three disciples with him. Not long ago, he had 5,000 men, not counting women following you. But how many know sometimes you're alone? And Jesus went there And as he went there, he separated himself from his three disciples, and he went a little bit further. And the Bible said as he went, the pressure and the load was so great, he fell under it. And the Bible says that he literally, his blood vessels in his face begin to break under the stress and the pressure, and his sweat begin to run like great drops of blood under the pressure. And listen to what he said. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You see, Lucifer one day said, not your will, but my will. Adam and Eve said, not your will, but my will. But Jesus said, not my will, your will be done. And as he's holding that cup and he's looking into it, and something in that cup is so vile that he literally is saying, God, I don't want to drink this cup. If there's any other way, let this cup pass. So I ask you today, what is in the cup? Write that down. What is in the cup? First of all, let me tell you what's not in the cup. Death is not in the cup. Amen. Jesus ain't afraid of death. Jesus conquered death 3 times. Amen. Death knows who he is because he yelled to death, give up Lazarus, and death had to obey. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? So he's not afraid of death. He had already conquered death. But the devil wasn't in the cup neither. That's right. He's not afraid of the devil. Amen. Sometimes we as preachers in churches, we do a disservice by saying, God is here and the devil's here. No, no, no. God is here. Amen. And the devil somewhere. Hallelujah. No, he wasn't afraid of the devil because one day he knew his heel would bruise his head and his head would bruise his heel. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? He knew that he come to destroy the works of the enemy. No, he wasn't afraid of the devil in the wilderness. Him and the devil went 15 rounds and the devil fled and he was victorious. No, 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 my friend, the devil wasn't in the cup. The cross, was it the cross? No, the cross was not in the cup. Well, you may, they were coming to kill him. I beg to differ with you. Nobody killed him. He laid down his life. Remember when they come to get him and Jesus said to them, said, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus. And then he said it again, whom do you seek? And then when he said it this time, they all felt backwards. He was saying to them, you can't come and get me. I can call 10,000 angels and they'll take me off the cross and they'll destroy this world. No, I'm laying down my life, friends. Let me tell you something. Nails did not hold him to the cross. It was love that held him to the cross. No, 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 no. That did not, wasn't in the cup. Then, Pastor, what was in the cup? I'm glad you asked. When he looked in the cup, first of all, you got to understand, he is holy. Let me give you some scriptures. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. There was no sin. He never committed sin, never thought about sinning. 1 Peter 2:22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. What are you saying? I am saying this. He is holy. Amen. He is without sin. The Bible says that he is a perfect reflection of his Father, who is a holy God, who is omnipotent, omniscient. God is God of love. God is a God of joy. God is a God of peace. God is a God of grace. God is a God of long suffering. But there is no sin in him. He is perfect holiness. And Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. You've got to understand this. Before Jesus came and was born in a manger, he was on a throne. He was God the Son. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? He was forever. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Here is one that is complete holiness. Throughout eternity has been holy. So what was in the cup? Every sin from the past and the present and the future was in the cup. This holy God was looking at murder, rape, child abuse, filth, ungodliness, hate, prejudice, racism. Hitler's sins was in that cup. Every sin, every secret sin, every thought of sin was in that cup. And you see, he would have to, according to 2 Corinthians, he would have to take that sin upon himself. Worse than fingernails going down a chalkboard is a holy God who would take filth and ungodliness and sin upon himself. Are you still with me? Amen. For it says in 1 Peter 2 and 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for he made himself who knew no sin to be sin for us. What was in that cup that was so vile, that caused Christ to have so much stress to even pray, let this cup pass from me? It was your sin. It would come upon him. Now you will got to understand, every guilt, every shame of that sin would come upon Jesus Christ. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Is there anybody thankful that he took your sin and he nailed it on a cross? Hallelujah. I said he nailed it on the cross and it died. Amen. It don't have any more power over you. It has died on the cross. He paid the price for our freedom, for our liberty. He took our sin and he paid the price. Because you see, also when it comes to sin, and in the cup was the judgment of sin. God, this is deep, you gotta grab this. God judged Jesus with all the sin of the world. That's why the Bible says he was smitten of God. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Is anybody getting this morning? God judged him. God made him pay the price for our sin. I don't know why somebody isn't praising God this morning. I'm glad I was guilty and I was on my way to hell, but because he took my place, he paid my price, I'm on my way to heaven. I am free. I am liberated. I am delivered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Understand this, and it's very important you get this. In those days when you become engaged, you went into contract, a very sacred, strong contract that only by law could you be separated. That is why the Bible said that Joseph and Mary was not married yet, but they were in contract of engagement, and because she was pregnant and not by him, he could have had put her away. In other words, broke that contract. But nothing else could break the contract. Now you got to get this. Because the bride could never break the contract. Only the groom could break the contract. Glory to God. Your neighbor couldn't break the contract. The man down the street could not break the contract. No wonder Paul says in the Romans, the 8th chapter, that nothing shall separate us from God. Nothing can pluck us out of his hand because we are in contract. It is an eternal contract. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Glory to God. Now, when me and my wife got engaged, she said to me, she said, honey, I want a small, dainty diamond and just a little white gold ring. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. A few years in our marriage, honey, I want a rock. After 10 years, it got bigger. Guess what? It's even bigger now. But when I gave her an engagement ring, everyone that seen it knew she was in contract. Ooh, hallelujah. You see, when Eliezer came to Rebekah, he gave her bracelets and gold and stuff so that everybody that saw Rebekah from then on knew she was in contract with someone. Are you ready for this? Now, she gets his name. She goes to the store. She says, I need some stuff to make a beautiful gown for a wedding. And the owner, the guy at the store says, well, who are you? Do you have any money? Do you have any credit? She said, no, but I'm engaged to John. Oh, well, John owns the store. Whatever you want. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to shout here in a minute. She goes down to get a nice chariot to whip them away. And she says, I need this nice chariot. Well, do you got any money, any credit? No. Well, what's your name? She gave me, said, well, I can't help you. She said, well, wait a minute. I'm engaged to John. Oh, John owns the place. Jesus said, in my name. Hallelujah. You can do all things in my name. Hallelujah. You see, when you go in and you tell cancer, I'm healed. Cancer says, who are you? And you say, don't worry about that. I'm in contract. And his name is Jesus. And cancer has to say, he owns it. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. When you can't pay your bills and you don't know how financially you're gonna make it, all you do is say in the name of Jesus, listen, and gold and silver has to cry out, he owns us. Oh, I wish somebody would praise him. Listen, it even gets better than that. He said, in my name, you shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. In my name, you shall cast out devils. Now I'm feeling a shout coming on. You see, there was some men that went and grabbed a demon possessed and said, in the name of Paul's Jesus, we adjure you to come out. And the devil said, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? You know why? Paul was in contract with Jesus and he had the name because he was engaged. I want you to know this morning, the devil knows who you are because of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder we can tread upon scorpions and serpents and none which shall harm us. Hallelujah! Because we are in contract with him. Whew. Calvary, you see, he went through multiple illegal trials in one night, and then they took him to Calvary. See, Calvary was a place of death. Calvary was known as a place of bloodshed. Calvary was known a place of guilt. But now it's a place of debt liberation. Oh, I could sing to you this morning, mercy there was great, and grace was free. I got to start all over. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, I could sing to you this morning. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you see, I could sing to you this morning, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that what? That saved a wretch like me. Come on, sing it. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah! 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 We could sing on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross. We could sing that I've been redeemed. Hallelujah! We could sing this morning, is there anybody that was lost on your way to hell? But Jesus paid the price and has redeemed you. Can somebody shout? Hallelujah! Glory! Has anybody been redeemed? Has anybody been guilty, but you've been set free? Because he paid the price.